Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. And we're just going to review the first trumpets real quick, first, second, third trumpet, which we covered last week. And the first angel sounded in verse 7, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up. So the first one is the vegetation is struck, all the green grass was burned up. The second trumpet was that the seas were struck. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And I said that, you know, that seems to be a really good way for God to communicate to John the description of an asteroid that would be hitting the earth. And you know, y'all knew an asteroid went by this week. If you watch the news, there was an asteroid that went by. And the headline of the article was Bright Asteroid Flyby. This is from spaceweather.com. And it said, a large asteroid is about to fly past Earth on the night of January 26, 27. A mountain-sized space rock. Now, isn't that interesting? The Bible says, like a great mountain burning with fire. Now, this space rock was three times the distance of the moon from us, so it didn't hit our atmosphere and it didn't burn. But they said a mountain-sized space rock, 2004 BL-86, will be only three times further from us than the moon. There's no danger of a collision. But according to the Word of God, if that's what this is saying, which is literal as we can get, that is what it's saying, because if that rock came into our atmosphere, it'd be a burning mountain, by definition, the way they use it. And if it hit a sea, it would wipe out all the ships. It would wipe out all the fish. Wherever it hit, it'd be gone. And then some people came up after the service last week and were wanting to know more about asteroids and stuff. And I started to allude to it in the service. Asteroids and comets and meteors freak out scientists. They do not have an understand. They cannot explain the things that they have found out about them because it does not fit. Any of it does not fit in the Big Bang Theory. And I'm going to say, I can tell you from having been in the audience when Dr. Brownlee of the University of Washington was giving his press conference for the first time on the results of the Stardust space probe that flew behind the Vild 2 comet and scooped up comet tail dust and put it into a capsule. It got collected in aerogel, which he and his team invented, this gel that would catch the stuff behind the Vild 2 comet, and then lock it in the capsule, bring it back to Earth successfully, a very successful space mission. He sold the $200 million space mission to NASA because this is going to prove the Big Bang. We are going to understand comets. This is going to be the proof if we can do this. They opened up the capsule in the clean room down in Texas, and nothing that they expected was in there. Everything that Dr. Brown said was going to be captured by the aerogel in the space capsule of Stardust was there. And I heard him tell the audience, this is shocking, this is surprising, we don't know when we're going to be able to tell you why this stuff is here. And then I went up to him afterwards, personally, face-to-face, Dr. Brown, the University of Washington, head of the thing. This is the email I got from Dr. Brown the day before Space Probe landed in California, and this is what he predicted you would find, which is everything you just said that was there. And so when they started getting telescopes that were good enough to actually look at the asteroid belt and see some of these near-Earth asteroids, some of them were going, there's a moon around that one. And the astronomers at first were saying, absolutely impossible. There's no way a moon can be around an asteroid by how they think asteroids come about. Because a moon is captured. It's something that comes, you know, if something is flying towards an asteroid, another meteor or asteroid, it's going to wing past in the same velocity that it came. It can't be captured by the asteroid. Impossible. But then as they look closer and closer, they go, well, okay, the impossible happened. But that maybe that one. Huh, what, this one has one. This one has two moons. This one has three. What about this one? What about the comets that have moons? And all of a sudden, they're freaking out. And so In the news leading up to the flyby that happened this week, they were saying, we're going to take this radar dish, this massive dish that's in California, and we're going to shoot radar beams off of this thing because we want to see if it has a moon. Because another one. And guess what that is? Guess what that is? A moon. On the asteroid that just went by. And yet they cannot explain in any of their Big Bang, other garbage, they can have no explanation of how, and this is what it says in the article out of JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, where Juanita used to work. They aren't as good as when she was there, but they're still pretty prestigious. In the near-Earth population, these are asteroids near the Earth, about 16% of asteroids that are about 655 feet or 200 meters or larger are binary, meaning they have a moon. The primary asteroid with a smaller asteroid moon orbiting it, or even triple systems, two moons. It's impossible. Oh, maybe that one. Two, three, 16%. 16% of the asteroids have it. Dr. Brown's theory perfectly explains it. When the crack of the earth, when the crust cracked open and all the fountains of the great deep burst up on one day and it rained 40 days and 40 nights and the windows of heaven were open because the water was jettisoning up into space and then coming down all over the earth and the windows of heaven were open, that those pulsed jettisons of water and rock and debris into space sent a lot of water out with debris. And as that water and debris went out, the things would have started swirling around, coming into the center of mass. But some of those rocks would have just ended up in orbits because they're going at the same direction, the same speed. They would have been slowed down in the relative velocity by the moisture, the vapor that was in the area, aerobraking, and would have aerobraked them right into a orbit around the different clumps of asteroids. And I know it's kind of hard to follow if you haven't had kind of a physics understanding, but again, go read Dr. Brown's Asteroid and Comet chapter, and everything that they find about asteroids and comets and meteors are all consistent with the fact those things were all blown into space by the Earth during the flood of Noah. And it's a perfect explanation. So, anyway, we can trust our Bible, you know that? And our God is an awesome God. He is an amazing God, and this stuff is coming back with our name on it. Third trumpet, the water struck, and then the angel, third angel sounded, a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and a third of the springs of water. So this one apparently hits the land instead of the water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Verse 12. So now we're picking up where we're for this week. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Now I've compared this to the bowls as we've been going through. You know, is the trumpet and the bowls the same? Some people say that. Oh, the bowls are just a better description of the trumpets. Well, no, if you lay them side by side, they're not. They can't. Except I think that the seventh seal, seventh trumpet, seventh bowl, they are alike, as we said in an earlier. And the fourth bowl of Revelation is, in fact, turn to Revelation 16:8, because this is, I think, important. It says in Revelation 16:8, so as you're turning there, verse 12 is saying the sun is going to have a third of its strength. The moon is going to have a third of its strength, and the stars a third of its strength. In other words, I think what the Bible is saying is it's saying when you look up, the sun is only going to have one third the ability to see it. So in other words, some kind of debris or something that's in the air that's going to make it so that you cannot see the sun and the moon. It's not the same light. It's going to be like a third of the daytime light that you're going to have because the sun is being shielded. The fourth bowl, judgment, Revelation 16:8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him, to this angel that is allowed to cause the sun to be a judgment on the earth, power given to him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. So see the difference? Fourth trumpet hinders the sun's radiation to the earth, and the fourth bowl it causes the sun to go on steroids and scorch people on the earth. So going back to Revelation 8, verse 12, and then we're going to go to Isaiah 13 for a parallel passage in the Old Testament to just see how the Bible interprets the Bible. Revelation 8, verse 12 again. Then the fourth angel of the trumpet judgments, the angel of the trumpet judgments says, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And the night meaning, at night you don't get to see the light of the moon, and you're not seeing the light of the stars. Unless the star is really bright, you're not going to see it, because something has happened to the atmosphere as a judgment of God. So let's turn to Isaiah 13:9 for a parallel prophecy in the book of Isaiah, dealing with the last days, clearly dealing with the last days, and is completely consistent with what we just read in Revelation. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger. From who? From God. That people say, God would never judge the world. Well, listen to Isaiah. There's going to be a day where it's going to be considered cruel, but not. It's cruel to the inhabitants of the sinful world. It's not cruel to those who are going to be inheriting heaven as a result of dealing with the sinful world. So, cruel to some, not cruel to us, because we want to believe and trust and see Him set up His kingdom. With both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He will destroy its sinners from it. He will have to eliminate sinners from the world. It's going to happen. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wickedness of their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of His fierce anger. Clearly, the wrath of God upon the inhabitants of the earth. And this is a total parallel passage to what we just read, going back to Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, which is the fourth trumpet judgment. And so can the church be here for this? People say, oh no, the wrath of God doesn't come until in chapter 6 of Revelation, it doesn't come until the sixth seal. And so we're going to be here through all the tribulation until the very, very end, because the sixth seal is the earthquake at the very end. But God is declaring all this darkening of the sun and the moon and everything else is the wrath of God. And the fourth trumpet is not the end of the tribulation period. And we know that because it seems like the 144,000 are seen in heaven right after the Antichrist, 3 years into the tribulation period, is making everybody bow or die. And then at that moment, you see the 144,000 up in heaven singing praises to God. And then you start having an angel that's preaching the gospel to the earth, because I think the 144,000 are gone. Because God has given the Antichrist the authority to kill the two witnesses that are there in Jerusalem, allowing the temple to rebuild. And God takes 144,000 off. He goes, from now on, it's going to be angels proclaiming the gospel, because no more people down on earth being a witness. And so the wrath of God is the entire tribulation period. It's everything. It's from the first seal, second seal, third seal, all the trumpets, all the bowls. It's all the wrath of God in an increasing intensity upon the earth to get people to repent, but they don't. The church can't be here. And it's look at the language here. He'll make a live person as rare as gold. And we're going to find out from these judgments that already a fourth of the world's population was killed as a result of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And then a third of the population after that, that's a half from two specific judgments. And then we have all the people that died from this meteor hit. They're not counted in that half. All the people from the burning up of the trees, everything that happens there, they're not counted. There's going to be a massive die-off of the earth's population. And, this week we had the 70th year memorial of what? Auschwitz. And have you watched the news on that? And people just in 70 years later, these survivors of Auschwitz are just crying and remembering how many did you lose? And the guy answered the newscast, I lost everybody. Everybody in my family was killed at Auschwitz. And one guy is weeping as he's saying, I was saved by a thumb. I was saved by a thumb of a German soldier. This way, this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. This way, this way, this way, you're going to the gas chamber. This way, you're going to, work equals freedom, which was the sign above Auschwitz. And fortunately, they got liberated before they exterminated. Millions of souls were killed in the ovens of Auschwitz. And there will be, as a result of these calamities coming to the earth, there will be great loss of life. Going again, so verse 12, the fourth angel sounded, third of the sun. How is that going to happen? It's possible that the debris from the third and fourth trumpet will be jettisoned into space or into the atmosphere. If a comet is what hits the earth and does Chernobyl and contaminates the fresh waters and causes people to drink bitter water. Let's say that is a hit. Everybody talks about the kind of nuclear winter that occurs if you get a bunch of dust up into the atmosphere that would occur from these meteor impacts on the earth. Could be that. But people are going to curse God for the plague. And then God's going to say, oh, you're plagued because there's not enough sun. It's a nuclear winter. Okay, there's going to be a judgment of the sun, and the sun is going to burn the earth. Verse 13, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels are about to sound. And basically, the angel is saying, hey, you wicked people on the earth, you immoral God-haters, killers of children, murderers in the womb of children in the womb, you rapists, you just all the stuff, all the evil and the wicked that's happening. You think that was bad? You haven't seen anything yet. And the inhabitants of the earth will be staggering from the rate and severity of the judgments. Imagine this happening. I mean, really, right now, things are kind of normal. We're hearing the rumblings of wars and financial collapse and everything else. But imagine, bam, the earth gets hit with a asteroid, something like a mountain hitting Mediterranean Sea, or maybe it means Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, whatever, hits the sea and a third of the things die. Wow, that asteroid hit us. Boom, bam, another one hits. And a third of the waters. And people are going to be reeling. And that's what Jesus said. He said during the tribulation period, he said in Matthew 24, you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And what he said there is birth pangs. That's the word in the Greek, means birth pangs. It's going to get more and more intense and closer together. And imagine that during those 7 years, these things are hitting the earth. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And there's no correlation. I won't even read the fifth bowl. There's absolutely no correlation to this in the bowl judgment. So again, they're different. So in this case, now, okay, we saw that earlier a star falling was this meteor that hits. But see, look at the language here. The fifth angel sounded, the fifth trumpet judgment, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth to him. See, notice that? To him. Not a star of an asteroid comet hitting the earth, but now this is a him. This is a living creature. And him was given a key to the bottomless pit, the abuso. So he's going to open up the abuso. It doesn't go well when he does that. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. What is he opening? He's opening up the pit to hell, to the abuso, to where, in Peter it says, to Taros, where the deepest, darkest part in Greek mythology for the wicked souls. And that's where, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Or actually, turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 30 first. Turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 30. We're going to let the Bible interpret the Bible here. Just, you don't have to believe from me. That's the pit of hell. It just, it's clear to just let the Bible interpret the Bible. Luke chapter 8, verse 30. And this is, remember the demoniac that he could just break his chains? He was naked near the Sea of Galilee, and you know, people couldn't go by there because he was just full of demonic power. They'd try and chain him, he'd just break the chains, etc. Jesus came to him and asked him, the man and the demons are speaking out of this man. Jesus says, "What is your name?" And he said, the demons out of this man's mouth were saying, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they, the demons inside of this man, begged him, Jesus, that he, Jesus, would not command them to go into the abyss. Isn't that interesting that Satan and the demons know that Jesus can, all he has to do is speak the word and they're going to go. Please don't send us into the abuso. And this angel in the fifth trumpet judgment is an angel that's given the key to that place, and he opens it up. Please don't send us into the abuso. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that they would permit begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. He said, "Okay, I'm not going to throw you down there." Well, who does get thrown? If an angel is opening up that pit and letting something out, then who is in there? If God doesn't send the demons there all the time, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Second Peter 2:4, Peter's talking about the judgments that have come upon the earth, the flood judgment, how the earth is going to be judged in the last days by fire. And he says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," and that word in the Greek is only used here, and it's tataros, and that means the buso. It means the bottomless pit. "Cast them down to the bottomless pit and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." They're being held down there to wait for what? Judgment. Well, they're already judged by God. So what does it mean? I think judgment of being released to be a judgment upon the earth, as we're going to see here in the fifth seal. And if you go to Jude 6, there's only one chapter to Jude. It's go to Jude, is just before Revelation, Jude 6. "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode," because the angels are supposed to stay in the angelic spiritual realm, but apparently they left that domain to enter into the human domain. They're, somehow they can have the power to enter into the human domain. And they left their angelic domain to go into the human domain, left their own abode. And as soon as they do that and get their time to do what they're doing that, then he throws them into the pit. It says he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day of the tribulation, the judgment. So they're down there chained up, locked up, because these are super bad dude demonic angels. They're fallen angels that are worse than the other demons that God does not throw into the abuso. The demons are allowed to possess people, possess your neighbors when they get into occultism and ask to be in, you know, they ask Satan for powers, and increasingly our neighbors all of a sudden have demonic aspects to their character and they're overtaken by demons. Those guys get to be around and possess people and jump from person to person to be possessed. But some of them did something really bad that got them to be thrown into the abuso before their time, and they're reserved there until the day they get loosed, until the day they get let out for judgment. And that judgment appears to be Revelation 9:2. "And he opened the bottomless pit and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. The opening of the spiritual bottomless pit will also create a global smoke to block the sun. And imagine what that's going to be like. And again, what many commentators have said, people blow off Revelation just like we were talking about during our topic. Like, that couldn't happen. There's not demons. I mean, that's too bizarre. That out of this pit, all of a sudden, a demonic horde are going to go out and torment people. That's stuff for movies. That's not stuff for real. Oh, really? Yeah. Was it just a movie that Jesus threw those demons into the swine and the swine ran down the hill and drowned themselves? Was that just a movie? How about when Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven," and you guys think you all you disciples that went out, wow, we were casting out demons in Jesus' name, in your name, Jesus, that was really cool. He goes, "Oh, you think that's cool?" He goes, "I watched Satan fall from heaven. Don't rejoice that the demons are cast out in my name. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And this world is going to be bombed with spiritual evil, wickedness, demons like never before. And it goes on to say, "Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead." So the 144,000 are here on earth during this time. This is clearly a reference to that. And so do real locusts hurt trees and grass? Real locusts hurt trees and grass. So what the Bible is telling us, I'm going to call you locusts, but you don't hurt the trees and the grass. What do? You hurt people. Now, if you're ever in a locust plague, a real locust plague, you're going to be bothered that grasshoppers are crawling around all over you. But they're not going to hurt you. They're not going to make you wish you were dead. They're not going to torment you for 5 years by having a scorpion tail on the back, which is what these guys do. These guys are not normal locusts. So these scorpions are going to have power to inflict debilitating pain to those they sting. And they're only able to afflict those who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. So the Bible says they afflict everybody on the planet except those who have the seal of God on their forehead. And that is so tied to what we already read about the 144,000, right? Because it says, "Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God." This is Revelation 7:2. "And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea." Four angels holding back all these judgments, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So that, I mean, the Bible says these are the 144,000. So now, is the church on earth? Is God going to have his people who have trusted in Jesus as their Savior get tormented by a demonic horde that comes out of the pit of hell? No, not a chance. Not a chance for the church. Because he's promised the church that he's not going to let it see the wrath. And I don't want, would you want your dad to let somebody, some demoniac in the town just pulverize you and torment you and torture you and he sits around and watches? So the church is not here. And 144,000. And what about the people that are, it says that during the tribulation period, myriads of people are going to be coming of every tribe and tongue and nation. They're going to come to a saving faith in God. Because of these things, they're going to realize this is what the Bible said. That's what those crazy Christians told me before they left and disappeared. And there's going to be a lot of people. But you know what it looks like? It looks like they're tormented. Because they missed the church time that God had promised to the church that we weren't going to be here. And because they miss that time, they're going to be tormented. There's going to be great destruction. Because the Bible doesn't say that the people in the tribulation period that come to Jesus become part of his church, his bride. It says that they come to him with their heads cut off. They come to them after great suffering on this earth because of the things that are coming. So, it's clear that we're not here. But Jesus did say, and I'm going to say for those that do come to Jesus Christ during that time, Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Doesn't say his seal of his forehead, but it says he's got his seal. But we should be teaching this to our friends, saying, this is what, if you want to be left behind, this is what you have forward to look for. If you don't get wiped out by the meteor, you don't get wiped out by all the trees and all the grass and some of the trees being burned up, whatever happened there. You don't get wiped out by the meteor that hits the ocean. You don't get hit by the asteroid or comet that hit the earth. And you don't get wiped out by the sun being darkened by all the stuff by that. You have to look forward to a bunch of demons flying around like locusts that are able to do what? Verse 5. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them. For 5 months, their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. How many people have been hit by a scorpion? Anybody here? All right, one has been hit by a scorpion. Was that pleasant? And again, I've shared before, people in Africa, they wish they were dead. They tell me, an African scorpion, which is much worse than anything we have in America, that they've told me the first hour or so you are thinking you're going to die. Even some have said it can last a day, where you think I'm going to die. And then it takes 3 days to get over a scorpion sting. And I was there when a lady got hit with a scorpion on her foot, and I have never heard such agonizing screaming in my life. It was like we're sitting there talking and all of a sudden this lady is just shrieking and screaming. And we go over there and she is just, imagine, wincing in pain and cannot stop screaming. And then they go over to her they had police tasers because it was part of the security of the compound there in South Sudan on the far-reaching ministry compound. And they go over and they take the taser to his foot where the scorpion hit her foot. Because they believe, and I've heard from somebody else that it's actually true, that the electricity going through your foot actually neutralizes some of the venom of the sting. And so she was wanting them to do that because a full-on taser to her foot, she knew was going to be relieving the pain of the scorpion. So tell, just for those people that want to reject Jesus, sit them down. Just let me teach you two verses out of the Bible, 5 and 6. If you live that long, that's what your future is going to be, unless you can find a place to get away from these guys. And the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair and teeth, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And Hal Lindsey teaches that these are helicopters. I've never seen a helicopter that did not intend to kill the people it tormented. I mean, they don't even want to torment; they just want to kill. And they say, well, look at what he'll do when he has this on his video or even in his book. He says, look at the faces, people paint faces on the helicopters and, there's the blade in the back and all this stuff. And I'm sorry, Hal, I love your ministry, but this is not talking about helicopters. Chuck Missler teaches this is bio warfare, that if you could look through what we're going to see is when we look through a microscope, we're going to see a bio bug that looks like hair, like a woman's hair, and teeth like a lion's teeth, and they're going to have breastplates and all this stuff. If we looked in a microscope, we're going to see them. There's going to be bio warfare that torments people all over the earth. But if the text is taken literally, these are simply demonic creatures with an appearance that if their face doesn't get you, their stinger will. It's going to be, I mean, seriously, imagine it happening. And it's going to be a whole horde coming out chasing people down all over the world to sting them, and they're going to wish they died, but death will flee from them. Some people teach that this means even if somebody were to literally get hit by a car to die, it's like God's going to take death from the world, and you're just going to sit there in your dilapidated body, not leaving, just experiencing death. I don't know if that's true. It could just be saying they're not going to hit you to kill you, but to make it so that you are miserable every time you get stung for 5 months. And they had a king they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek he has the name Apollyon, which means destroying angel. Guess who he is? He's the devil Satan. And he's the one that rules over them. And he's going to be telling these demonic angels, okay, they want to worship me. They want to worship the Antichrist. They're into Ouija boards. They're into Satan worship. They're into America horror story. They're into 666. They're into pentagrams. They're into all their, they get pentagrams on all their tattoos. Give it to them, because he's the great destroyer. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Would we all agree we don't want to be here? We don't want our loved ones to be here. It's going to be a horrible time on earth. And again, some people like Dawkins in Oxford University, he'll sit there, well, you know, God is like Hitler. You know, Hitler killed all those people in Auschwitz. Well, God's killing everybody here on the earth. So what's the difference? God is a megalomaniac, mass murdering God. So what's the difference? The difference is God is cleaning up the planet. He is getting rid of those that hate him so that he can make a place for those who love him. It's just that simple. It's not evil for God to get rid of evil any more than it is for the judicial system of America to take a rapist and murderer that's killing and pillaging and saying, we're going to lock you up or send you to the death chamber. Why are we doing that? For the society that doesn't want to have to worry about their children playing outside in the middle of the day. And that's considered justice. So it's a just, God is just in when he judges the world. But he's actually, in the severity of these judgments, he's giving people the opportunity to know that he is God and that they should humble themselves before him. And many myriads of people will. Because he could have just vaporized the place. He could take the church, vaporize the place, and say, okay, now there's a new heaven, new earth for you. But he's going to harvest some more people out of there that are willing to humble themselves as they see these plague after plague after plague. And some of them will be turning to Jesus as their Savior. And I rejoice in that, that there will be tribulation saints. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your justice, your mercy upon us, your grace to give us life when we don't deserve it by Jesus shedding his blood on the cross for us. And Lord, we do pray that as we study this, we would sense the urgency of helping people to know they need to flee from sin and from the wrath to come by repenting and turning away from their sin to embrace you as their Savior while there's still time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Worship God in this closing song.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Sing praise to the Lord forever, he's worthy to be praised. Sing praise to the Lord forever, he's worthy to be praised. Sing praise, he's worthy to be praised. Sing praise, he's worthy to be praised. Come worship the Lord together, give glory to his name. Come worship the Lord together, give glory to his name. Give glory, give glory, give glory to his name. Give glory, give glory, give glory to his name. Rejoice in the Lord for always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Amen. Rejoice always until he comes, and then we get a long time to do it after that. God bless you, keep you in his care, and until we can fellowship again.